Take your Bible this morning, if you will. Let's go to the Gospel of John, if you will. Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10 this morning. We were singing the choir special, and as I often do, I sing a wrong word. But it's because they don't have the original version in that songbook. And there is a different word in the original, the way I learned it. Now the word they've got's good. It's good, but it's just not the original. So I had to do it that way, and I wasn't paying attention while I was looking. I wasn't looking at the words, and I get in trouble oftentimes because of that. But I just want you to know. I want you to know this: if I'm in the choir and I mess it up, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time, and. Even I'm not trying to mess it up, but I'm having a good time, all right? And I believe you come to the house of God, you ought to be able to enjoy it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If not, then you ought to get down here where the next time you can enjoy it, all right? You can enjoy it. All right, John chapter 10, look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I preached 2 weeks ago on the subject of that I may know him. And our theme for this year is that the world may know him. That was, they said, preacher, I thought that was just the theme for the mission conference. No, it's the theme for the year, that the world may know him. But what I want to do today is to get personal, all right? I want to get personal with that thought of knowing him. And that him is the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just ask you today, how do you know him? And how well do you know him? I found a lot of people know of him. They've heard the name. At one occasion in my life, knocking doors in an apartment complex right down here in Haltom City, can't remember what the name of it is, but right after you go across the loop and under the railroad track and then you take a right at that light, there's apartment complexes there, and I knocked on the door one time, talked to a person, and they told me they had never heard of Jesus Christ. And you said, well, they were a foreigner. No, they were born here. And they said, never heard of him. But a lot of people today say, well, I've heard of him. Maybe even know a few details of his life, you know, maybe. Well, I think I heard he was crucified and maybe he performed miracles, that kind of thing. And I know that he claimed to have risen from the dead. But I just want to say this. Knowing a few details about an individual doesn't mean you know that individual. Well, we live in the day of the World Wide Web, which too many people spend way too much time on. But because of that, you can learn a great deal about a person without ever meeting them, without ever seeing them. You can learn a great deal. But I want to talk to you personally. How well do you know the Lord Jesus Christ on two levels? One is, do you know him as Savior?
Amen.
And do you know him as a shepherd?
Amen.
Do you know him as a shepherd? I believe these two go together, all right? I believe these two go together. Don't you see it? Number one, he's the only Savior.
Right.
He is the only Savior. Acts tells us that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one Savior. There's not another one. You said, don't agree with you. Your argument's not with me. It's with the Word of God.
Amen.
There's no other Savior, all right? But if you know him, I submit to you, if you know him as Savior, as your personal Savior, then there's some truths that you have no doubt about. I'll just give you three of them. Number one, you have no doubt about your destination at death. Now, can I say this to you? It's one thing for you to sit here this morning in relatively good health and maybe thinking, well, I'm in good health. I'm doing all right. I'm fairly young, you know, and I've got my life, and boy, everything's moving along. But wait a minute. If you were laying in that hospital bed, if the doctor had just walked in the door and said to you, we've got the results back from the test, and I'm sorry to tell you, it's not good. Not good. Reading a missionary letter this week, a missionary that was here years and years ago. We've not supported them, but he keeps sending his letter, and I read it. And in that letter, he said, I've been having some trouble. I went to the doctor and said, we just got the results back. He said, I have a tumor on my brain. But he said, it's not cancer.
Amen.
We rejoice over that. But he's got to have some things done, all right? Hey, You're sitting there in that bed and you got that bad news. Do you have any doubts about where your destination is?
There you go, bro.
Do you have any doubts about it? Listen, if you know the Savior and you know Him as your Savior, shouldn't be any doubts about it. Let me take you over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. Just read you a verse or two. Verse 1 out of 2 Corinthians 5 says this, for we know. And we don't think, we don't hope, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Hey, he's not talking about that place with sticks and brick and mortar that you live in. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about this earthly tabernacle, your body. He says, we know if our earthly house that it was dissolved, and we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
Amen.
Then you drop down to verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hey, I want you to notice those words, we know, we know. Look at that word confident, that word confident. We find it, okay? We find it in verse 6, we're always confident, it says. Verse 8, we are confident, again. That word confident, what a wonderful word it is. It is to know without doubt. If you're confident, you know without doubt, you're not sweating it. And what does the writer here says to us, he said, I know the Lord is my Savior, and because of that, I know if this body dies, it's okay.
Amen.
He said, because I've got a home in the heavenlies that's not made by hands.
Amen.
And he said, I know that. And he said, I'm confident that as long as I'm here, I'm absent from the Lord, but if I die, I'll be with Him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hey, that's a truth. If you're born again and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that ought to be a knowledge. That ought to be something you say, no doubt about it. I know that's true. I don't lay in the bed and wonder. I can go to the Word of God and find the assurance I'm in good shape.
Amen.
Hey, there's no doubt. No doubt about my destination at death. How about you? How about you? Second thing you shouldn't be any doubt about, and I don't want you to take this as disrespectful, it is not, but there's no doubt about my dad.
Amen.
No doubt about my dad. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Go over in your Bible to 1 John. The little epistle of John, all right? 1 John chapter 3. Here's what I'm talking about. Hey, if you have Him and you know Him as your Savior, there is no doubt about your destination at death. None. Shouldn't be a bit. But there should be no doubt about your dad either, okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love, notice, the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not.
Amen.
Hey, knew him not. Now the Bible says we know who our Father is. We know who our Father is. Now I was born into the family. My earthly dad's M.M. Mosley. Don't doubt that, but I'm going to say this. I never doubted he was my earthly dad, but I don't doubt today who my Father is either.
Amen.
None whatsoever. None. I know it is God himself. How great it is to be in the family of God.
Amen.
In the family of God. Two families on this earth. Two. In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ was talking to a group of folks. And he looked at them and he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Your father, the devil. He said, if you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And he goes on to talk about that. Hey, there's two families. You're either in the your dad's either the devil or your dad's God the Father.
Amen.
And there shouldn't be any doubt. You said, preacher, I know I'm a child of God. We're all children of God. That's a lie out of hell. We're not all children of God. You're a child of God only if you've been born into the family of God. Only if you've been born into that family, all right? And I want to tell you, that crowd there whose father's the devil, that's not the family that I'm in.
No, sir.
That's not the family I'm in. I'm not a part of that group, okay? I used to be, but I got adopted.
Amen.
Got adopted into a better family, all right? Just did. Hey, they're no kin to me. But man, it's good to be in the family of God.
Amen.
I think it's Bill Gaither wrote a song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus. That's me. And if you're saved, that's you. There ought to be no doubt about that. No doubt about that. You ought to rest assured. There ought to be a firm assurance. You shouldn't doubt that at all. Hey, no doubt. No doubt about my destination to death. I'm going to be with the Lord. No doubt about who my dad is. There's no doubt then about my decision. You said, what decision? What are you talking about? I speak of that decision that lies with every man. You have a choice. You can either accept or reject the Savior. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can take him, you can believe him, you can trust him, you can call upon him to be your Savior. Cast all your faith, your confidence in him to save your soul. Or you can reject him. You can say, not for me. Not for me. I'm not going that route. That's your decision. Hey, that's the decision whether or not you'll be born again. Now, I said you're not in the family of God unless you're born into that family. You know, you wouldn't think that would be that hard to understand. My last name is Mosley, not because I picked it, okay? I had no choice. I had no choice whatsoever. That fellow right there is my brother, but not by choice. I was stuck with him. But I can say, on the other hand, he was 4 years old before I entered the world, and I'm sure he may have thought, why'd y'all bring him home? Things were going good around here. Where'd you find that? You didn't have to do that. He was stuck with me, all right? He was stuck with me. Didn't have a choice. But I tell you this, I had a choice whether or not I trusted Christ. It was up to me. I mean, the truth was presented to me. My first birth, it happened. I had no vote. None. I was not floating around in the universe somewhere and saying, I would like to be born. I would like to have a body. Never. No, I had no choice, no vote. But I tell you this, when I was 9 years old, I cast a vote.
Amen.
I was 9 years old, I cast a vote. I was in church. I was in church every 9 months before I was born, I started going. But first time I showed up bodily there where people could say, yep, that's him, I was 2 weeks old. And there I was. I've been going to church ever since.
Amen.
But I tell you, in those years, man, somebody taught me the Bible.
Amen.
I had Sunday school teachers that took their time and taught a Bible lesson. They used old-fashioned flannel graph. They'd put those things on the board, and I remember as a kid looking at them and watching and listening to what that teacher said. I learned a long time ago when I was a kid, I better listen.
Right.
Said, why? Because I got home, might get the test. All right? The question could come, what was the Sunday school lesson about? The Bible? That wouldn't have been good enough. So I had to pay attention, and I paid attention. Boy, I'm glad I did, and I'm glad I had Sunday school teachers that taught me the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
And boy, I remember listening to preachers. We had revivals, went to every service, heard preachers preach. A man at 9 years old, I was faced with the fact I was a sinner.
Amen.
I was a sinner. And the truth of the matter is, I was without hope because I was without God.
Amen.
Oh, come on, preacher, it's only a 9-year-old boy. What could you have done? It only takes one sin to be a sinner.
Right.
I have a sinful nature. You got one.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us had to be a decision. I made that decision Sunday night, First Baptist Church of Tice, Florida. I said, I want to trust the Savior. I'm going to take him as my Savior. Let me tell you something. I got no doubts about that decision. That was the best decision I ever made in life.
Amen.
Best decision. Smartest thing I ever did was say, Lord, I want you to save my soul.
Amen.
I want you to be my Savior. Hey, you know what? If you know him as Savior, you got no doubt about where your destination is after death. None. If you know him as your Savior, you got no doubt about who your dad is, all right? If you know him as your Savior, you got no doubt about that decision you made. Now, it could have been years and years and years ago. It could have been weeks ago. It could have been months ago. But you don't have any doubt about that decision if you know him. So I just ask you today, do you know him as your Savior?
Amen.
Your Savior.
There you go. That's it.
You've been born again.
Amen.
Do you know him as your Savior? And then right hand in glove with that, he's the only Savior. He's the only Good Shepherd. You'll never know him, though, as a shepherd of your life if you don't know him as Savior. You said, prove that to me, preacher. All right, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 14. We read it a while ago. The Bible says, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You say, what proves it about that? I want you to notice that little word before sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I know my sheep.
There it is. Right.
My sheep.
Amen.
I know my sheep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He knows the ones that belong to him.
Right.
You see, salvation is the beginning of a new life.
Amen.
If you're not his sheep, if you've never been born into the family of God. Oh, but wait a minute. Now, I have tried to live by the golden rule. That's a good thing to do. Can't complain. Preacher, I've always tried to do what's right. Good. Well, I've never done anything really evil. I'm glad to hear that. That doesn't make you his child. That doesn't make you one of his sheep. It only becomes because you're born into the family.
Amen.
But I want you to notice what that relationship becomes once you're his sheep. Look in John 10, verse 3, would you? The Bible's talking about him. In verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, notice, hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Once again, that emphasis on his own sheep. Not every sheep, but his own sheep. He calleth his own sheep by name. But I want to emphasize this fact. The Bible said the sheep hear his voice. You said, what does that mean? I mean, you'll listen to him. Now, you're not going to hear him speak audibly to you. If you start saying, man, I was in the house and I heard this voice speaking to me, you may need a little help. right? You may need a little help if you think you're hearing it audibly, all right? But I'll tell you this, you will hear his voice in his word. You're going to listen to what he has to say. If you're his sheep and he is your shepherd, then you're going to know something about his word. You're going to hear it. You're going to be willing to hear it. Many today claim to be saved that have little or no acquaintance with what he says. But nothing. I mean, there's no seemingly nothing of it. I was talking to a college class that I teach in Bible college, and I don't even know how we got on it, and I said, I don't like a red letter edition of the Bible. How many of you got a red letter edition? Wicked. No, there's nothing in the world wrong with it at all. Not a thing. He said, preacher, why don't you like it? I find it distracting.
That's right.
I read this book, and every word of it's his word to me. And I understand what they put in red is the words he spoke. I understand that. But man, to me, I read it. Everything is here. He spoke it. Everything here. And so I don't care for a red letter. If you like it, I've got no quarrel with you. Fine. No problem. Truth of the matter is you got to sometimes look hard to get one that's not red letter. But I'll tell you this. If he's your shepherd, you care about what he says. You care about what he says. Now that other crowd doesn't recognize it. Some even deny this word. And yet they claim to belong to him. Hey, I got a problem with people that claim to know him and yet they have no interest in the Bible. I just, there's a problem there, all right? Don't want to hear it. Don't want to read it. Don't want to study it. Don't want to be exposed to it. Don't seem to be around. Want to be around it. As a matter of fact, seems like it makes them nervous.
Yeah.
I got a problem. I think you got a problem. You saying you belong to him. He is your shepherd. But you're that way about what he says. Hey, something's wrong.
Yeah.
If he's your shepherd, you got an interest in what he says.
Amen.
You've got an interest in what he says. It's there. But the most telling indication that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd that you follow is found in John chapter 10. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. The Bible said, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Oh, listen. His sheep follow him.
Right.
His sheep follow him. We live here in Texas in what is traditionally and historically cattle country.
Right.
Fort Worth's nickname is not Sheep Town. This is Cowtown, all right? It's Cowtown. We understand cattle probably more than we do sheep. We do. It's cattle country, all right? I mean, we've got that heritage. It's on the Chisholm Trail and all of that kind of stuff, stockyards area, everything. It's interesting. You can even go down there and see cattle drive twice a day, all right? And it's interesting stuff. Fine, no problem. But wait a minute, sheep are different.
Oh, yes, amen.
Sheep are different. They take that cattle drive down there in the stockyards. They don't have a fellow get out there and say, all right, guys, up and at them. We're taking a little hike.
No.
They don't do that. No, they'll get up and they may go, and they take a lariat, they take a rope, they may take a whip and crack it, and they get them going, and they herd them. They go with them, and they on the sides, and somebody behind, all right, and get them headed in the right direction.
Amen.
You don't have to do that with sheep.
Nope.
You see sheep. The Bible said, and you study sheep, sheep know the voice of the shepherd.
Right.
They know his, and I've studied and read where guys, they got into a place and there was a whole bunch of sheep all mixed together. And the guy thought, man, we'll never get these separated. But the shepherd would get up, he'd speak, and he'd take off. And man, his sheep would just start leaving the crowd and they'd follow him.
Yep.
Why? They knew the shepherd.
That's right.
They knew the shepherd. They knew his voice. They followed him. They knew where he's going, we're going. I'm sticking with him, all right? I'm going. Now, we have a song in our songbook that says, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Amen.
A lot of people sing the words. Don't see any evidence in their life they're doing what they say. Don't see that following.
Amen.
But hey, if he's your good shepherd, you follow him.
Yes.
You follow him. Let me just, a few things and I'll be done. Hey, if you follow him, it's to a location.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you follow him, it's to a location. Can I just tell you this? He doesn't lead you to some honky-tonk.
If you
were down at Billy Bob's, I know it's supposed to be the world's largest honky-tonk, but I guarantee you God didn't lead you there. He doesn't lead you down to the dance hall, to the bar. He doesn't lead you to the gambling house. He doesn't lead you to the drug house. If you got there, you weren't following him.
Amen.
That's not how you got there, all right?
No,
yeah, because he's not taking you there. If you lead him, he'll follow. He'll lead you to a destination. He'll lead you home, buddy.
Yes.
He'll lead you home. Now, that the Bible says in Psalms 23, y'all remember that psalm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First word says, the Lord is my shepherd. You get on down there a few verses, says he leadeth me beside the still water. He maketh me lie down in the green valley. Alright? Green pasture. Hey, that's where he leads you. He leads you home, okay? He leads you home. Can I just say this to you? An intelligent child of God that really knows the good shepherd, he'll go home when he ought to be home. He'll go home. And by the way, he knows where home is.
Amen.
And part of that, he'll lead you to the sheepfold. He'll lead you to the house of God.
Right.
If you're following him, you'll show up.
Right.
You'll show up. Huh? Because that's where he'll lead you. He's not leading you off somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got nothing against camping. Never been camping, but I got nothing against it.
Right.
I wanted to go when I was a kid. But my dad said, I camp in a motel. And after years of being around him, he made a believer out of me, all right? I mean, I have no desire to lay on the ground in a sleeping bag or on a cot. I mean, I like that comfort, okay? But you hear me, the Lord is your shepherd. He'll lead you to the right place. And you'll follow him. He'll lead you to a destination. If you follow him, he will lead, now hear me, in every situation. In every situation. That includes the good times and the bad. You'll follow him both times. So, well, it sure got tough. If he's your shepherd, you'll follow him. Every situation. Well, things got a little difficult. I understand. Circumstance, I understand. But you'll follow him, all right? That's when you can understand. And when you don't understand, you follow him. You follow him. When you can see down the road and when you can't see down the road, you follow him. You follow him. I mean, in all situations, you're going to seek to follow that good shepherd. If he's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. You say, preacher, is it possible to be saved and not have him as your shepherd? I think it can be. I think it can be. Now, he wants to be your shepherd.
Amen.
He's available. He pleads with you. I think he calls to you. But if you want to be rebellious, if you want to be honoring, fine. But he leads to a destination. He leads in every situation. And I'm going to say this because I think people misunderstand it. He leads in every generation.
Amen.
This following the Lord ain't just for old people.
Amen.
Man, I'm young, won't sow my wild oats. You got any other dumb ideas? You want to do my thing? Go ahead. You're going to pay for it. You may find out the price is a lot more than you want to pay, bud. Well, I'm doing okay so far. Remember those last two words. So far. So far. Hey, he leads in every generation. The good shepherd is interested in the young and the old and everybody in between. Everybody in between. I'll say this to you. If he's your shepherd, you will follow him.
Amen.
You will follow him. Just plain and simple. Now we say, preacher, I know him. Do you? Do you know him as Savior? You really know him as Savior? Or are there doubts? Are you counting on what somebody else told you? Well, Mama said, I got saved. That's not good enough for you. You need more than that. By the way, I'm not against Mama. I like Mama. But Mama sometimes can be a little messed up on some things. Hey, do you know him as Savior? You got that confidence? Got that confidence that I know if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I know that. Do you know him as Savior? Do you know the day? Do you know the day you got saved?
Amen.
I didn't say the date. I said the day you got saved. Mm-hmm. I know where I was. I remember the day. And I love the song. We need to sing it in the choir again. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. I like that song because I remember the day he saved me. I remember. Hey, you got that day. Do you know him as your Savior? Well, if you don't, would you make today that day? Would you make February the 25th, 2024? Would you make that the day you got saved?
Amen.
Would you make that the day you trust him? Hey, do you know him? Are you listening to him? Are you following him? Can you truly say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd?
Amen.
Are you blazing your own trail? You making your own way. I'm my own man. Go ahead, take a beating in life. I don't know. I don't know how y'all like it, whatever. I watch this show, I've told you, on YouTube, Matt's Off-Road Recovery. And I marvel at people that will buy $80,000, $90,000 vehicles and drive them off and stick them in a stream or a pond, and it fills the whole thing up with water and mud. There's roads to drive on, friends. I mean, okay, yeah, but it's got four-wheel drive. Okay. Have at it. Go ahead. I see them pick them up. They're not in the mud, but they've broken an axle. Why? Well, I was off-roading. Okay. Now let me say this. Brother Pike and his wife, they have a Jeep. I'm not preaching against them. By the way, truthfully, I don't care if you want to, you take it off-road. And I understand to a certain extent they're made for some of that. But I'm not talking about your vehicle, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. See, the Bible says this is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the good way. This is the good way. No, I'm over here struggling through the wilderness, beating my way. I'm down in the ditch. And I'm trying to get out of the ditch. And I'm getting all beat up and scraped up and battered. What's wrong with you? He's the shepherd. Follow him. Follow him. Do you know him? Do you know him today? Really know him? Is he your Savior? Can you truthfully say, he's the good shepherd of my life? Or if not, would you make him that today? Hey, listen, I plead with you. Two experiences this last week, just this last week, people I know quit following the shepherd.
Right.
And their life is battered. Battered. Their parents are brokenhearted. I'll tell you, you're looking at preachers brokenhearted for them.
Sure.
Two people I know. Two people. One time were in our Christian school. They didn't graduate. They were there a little while. They moved. They were there. I'm brokenhearted. Go see what happened to them. Why? They decided I'm not going to follow the good shepherd. Now, I believe they got saved. But they decided I'll make my own way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to listen to what he says. I'm not going to follow him. Very, very unhappy people.
Sure.
You don't have to go through life like that.
No.
Life's battered. Tough. Doesn't have to be that way. Hey, Christian, you're here. You know him as Savior. Would you let him be the shepherd for you? Will you follow him? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hey, you're finding life a little tough here and there. Well, you need to follow the shepherd. You need to follow him. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today.